Welcome to All the Bits, a fake radio show about board games, the community, and all the lovely, lovely bits. All the Bits is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network and is sponsored by Board Game Bliss, a store where you can find an amazing selection of games from around the world, bringing joy to you and your loved ones. Without further ado, here are your hosts, Sean and Michelle.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 45. In this episode's bits, we'll epitomize Call of the New by discussing all things Gen Con 2019, and in an outward display of our larger-than-life popularity, we will do this with a special guest, Jeremy Howard, from Jambalaya Gets Games and Man vs. Meeple. Hello, Jeremy.
Hello, party people. Nice to be here. Happy to be here. Oh my gosh, that's a little too much. No.
Oh, sorry. This is all very familiar.
Yes.
So, hey everyone, hey Bitsers, here we are, we're at episode 45. As you guys know, we kind of tweeted out and said on the social medias that unfortunately the audio goblin struck and we were unable to release this episode last week, but we're back. And the positive part about that is we get Jeremy a second time to talk about Gen Con.
Yes.
The big negative with this is, as you could hear from my horrible voice from the hello everyone thing, Michelle is not here because she is under the weather and not feeling well. However, we really want to get something out before, as Gen Con is, at the time of this recording, exactly a weekish away.
Yep.
So we want to make sure we get this out ASAP. So with Michelle's blessing, we are recording this with Jeremy and myself. And Michelle has sent in her top picks for Gen Con, as we're going to get to. And I will do my very best to make you guys feel that Michelle is actually here. That is my goal.
She's not here, though.
She's not.
It's just you. It's just us.
And if this was, if we were actually video creators, I would have had Jeremy wear like a picture of Michelle on his face.
Yes. I would have wore a mask and then like say, this is Michelle anyway. Just played the role. Just really go in for a bit, you know, like this is Michelle. But I don't have like a muffled voice. This is Michelle. Michelle, why do you have a full costume on and it's you? Yeah.
You just feel like I'm trying something new here.
Yeah. I commit to the bit, man. Whatever I'm doing, I commit to it.
We appreciate that because that's what we do here. We go all the way over the top and just don't care about anything and what people think. So, hey, you're perfect. Fit right in.
I'll sink with the ship. Let's go.
All right. You're going down, man. You're going down. So, all right. So, Jeremy, for those of our Bitsers who don't know you, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I'm a large 6'4" black man.
you would fit perfectly in the Michelle costume.
You may see 1 to 8 of us at Gen Con. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm a content creator. I kind of create stuff all over. I go by Jambalaya Plays Games or Jeremy Howard. You may see me on Facebook doing Facebook Live playthroughs. I do Kickstarter previews, reviews, live interviews from the convention floors. Just a little bit of everything. I do a lot of marketing, things like that kind of stuff. So I do pretty much everything that involves board games, except for be great at it. So I hey, just do it.
Quantity over quantity. Quality.
Yeah, I know. I go for quality. I mean, quantity, believe me. I don't go for quantity. So there's people who are far better than I am, believe me. So yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what I do, and I'm kind of changing some of my content moving forward, but generally you can find me on Facebook quite a bit with live content and stuff, and I do have a YouTube channel and a blog, so.
Cool, and we'll link all those in the show notes when we post this. And so one of the reasons we had Jeremy on is Jeremy's content from conventions is absolutely fantastic. He does interviews, shows the games off, talks about the games, and generally knows about every single game out there. And probably has played it. So he fits perfectly for this and for giving us kind of the scoop on what's out there.
Yeah. I keep my ear to the streets, dog. I keep my ear to the chat or something.
Something like that. As you're having brunch, you get all the information.
Yes. Sometimes I'm just sitting looking at the stars and drinking orange juice, and then my PMs come up. Nice. Like, okay. Yes, I drink highly acidic drinks at night.
So that might not be your PMs coming on.
No, that's no. So yeah, I'm a really big. I mean, there's a little bit of stuff that I do for advertising and stuff for other people and helping with promotion. So yeah, I do hear a lot about things that are coming, and of course, being part of many social media groups and things like that. You get to see a lot. You get to play a lot, and of course, I get prototypes, so I get to play them far before a lot of people, and some people don't even know these are Kickstarter games. So, you know, some games are released, and some people are like, oh, that was on Kickstarter? I'm like, yeah, it was, like 2 years ago, and it finally delivered, you know? Oh, wait, I backed it. There you go. So,
it's coming to me. Yay!
I don't really, oh, dang, I backed that. All in.
That's funny because it's true.
It's true.
All right, so in this episode, we're not going to go over the top with all of our bits, with all of our usual bits. We're just going to go straight into the hot topic. And again, Michelle's not here to do singing, which is unfortunate because our whole shtick is we sing the stuff. So my one question for you, Jeremy, is: do you enjoy pizza? Pizza.
Wait, hold on. You saying I can't sing?
Oh, you can sing. Go ahead. Oh.
Okay.
Hot topic. That
worked. I don't know.
That's good. That'll do. I also hear my nephews laughing at me from the other room. Just FYI, I will let you know that the last time I recorded here and visiting my sister on vacation, they kept bursting into the room and causing lots of trouble.
Wow.
So I will let Rebel you know. Thousands. Yes, which actually resulted in them recording over the first episode of All the Bits, which was actually kind of funny.
Yeah. Always looking for a time to say Rebel Rouser. You don't say it very often.
No, you really
don't. Rebel Rouser.
Young Rebel Rouser.
Like you menace, like Dennis the Menace. Yeah. Like whoever gets to say that. Like you little menace. Rebel Rouser.
The little Rebel Rouser just came. Yeah. The 16-year-old Rebel Rouser just came in right now.
You know, like it's like a word you use so often, like rarely, that you kind of like mess it up. You're like, oh, rabble rousers. Like, oh, no, I meant to say rebel rousers. And now the moment.
That, <fun. laughs> that would be a pretty fun social experiment for Gen Con, is how many times can we say rebel rouser throughout the con?
Do interviews, and we have to find a way to say the phrase. Like, yes. Like,
so someone drops a component on the ground, and you're like, well, you're quite the rebel rouser, aren't you?
Yeah, trying to stir it on up here at Gen Con.
Oh, dear. That'd be awesome. All right. So, well, on that note, we're going to get on to our hot topic, which is us wading through the tsunami of Gen Con releases to find the five games that we are most likely to eagerly purchase and then admire on our shelf of shame for approximately 1 to infinity weeks, a.k.a. our top five Gen Con 2019 titles.
This is absolutely ridiculous. We are at I feel like since we talked a week ago, I think there was 450. Now there's like 560 something. Like it just
There's over 600 now.
Absolutely insane. I've been scrolling and thinking about my life, my kids' college fund. I don't know. What are we gonna do? How are we gonna pay for school fees in like 20 days? I don't know, because I gotta get some games.
There's gonna be a lot of games. Yeah. Yeah,
a lot of games, and my son's gonna have to deal with it.
He
could just get homeschooled. He's already a grade ahead. Already a grade ahead in reading, writing, math. He's two grades ahead in reading, writing, math. He can get homeschooled.
Games are more important.
He can read some of these rule books I got.
the preceding comment are not views shared by the Dice Tower Network, because we are proud members of the Dice Tower Network here on All the Bits.
Tom is going to kill me. I hope to God he doesn't edit this. I hope Tom does not hear this at all. Please don't kick me off, Tom. I'm sorry. He lets me on all these podcasts and all these shows. I went, oh my goodness, I did not.
Hey, you just ruin them all. You just bring down the Dice Tower Network with your controversial views.
My controversial. Oh, goodness.
Oh. And what's more important, life.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to go down that road. Let's go.
All right, let's go. Let's do this. So we're going to talk to you about the top five games that we are most excited for at Gen Con. Did you, Jeremy, do you have any specific criteria you used here?
So I really want to get to a point where we could actually have a whole separate discussion of games that we just want to see. But I'm talking about games that I can walk in, you know, push through some people who I feel are weaker than me and get to the games. Which,
let's face it, that's probably 99% of the population that's there.
And if there's a guy who I think, or a woman who I really think has a chance, I'm just going to tackle him with my credit card out in my other hand. Like, all right, like, how bad do you really want Black Angel? Like, are you ready to bleed for it? Are you ready to bleed for it? You know, like, I'm about this hobby. I'm about this life. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know what they're called there. The security guards, as they pick you up, you just be like, sorry, man, I'm just a rebel rouser. I couldn't resist.
Yeah, I'm just a rebel rouser. By the way, I'm a retired enforcer.
Oh, man. Just getting visualizations
this
here.
This episode is going to get 8 downloads.
What's going to happen? Hey, that's like 6 more than our usual episode, so it's all good. Perfect, man. What
are those 2 views are you checking to make sure it's working?
No, that's my mom and Michelle's mom. It's all good.
He's like, I don't even listen to it. I just
I listen to this crap. I mean, hey, we are great content here. All right, so I had similar views here. My choices are games, that you can walk out of there with. I didn't pick anything that I might have kickstarted or that's on the way with Kickstarter.
Yeah, so pretty much dodged that, except for these 2. There's 2 that are just so major. I'm like, I can't. You know, I didn't back them. Last year I was selling my house, so I didn't have money to back these games.
Fair.
And I had them, and I had to cancel all the pledges. So so it was like last year, some of the games that are coming out right now that were big titles, I had to like literally just cancel them like days before they ended because of our house sale didn't go through. So I'm sitting there like, those are number one priority. So I kind of feel like everybody else. It's like, I finally get my chance to get these games, you know, like, so yeah.
All right.
It's like a shipping day for me. Feels like it. It's gonna feel like a shipping
day. It's definitely big. I've been on like a total like not getting any games thing for a few months now, just in preparation of this. So I mentioned this when we recorded before, but probably my number one pick here would be the Artemis Project if I didn't back it. Another big one would probably be Reavers of Midgard, which I think they're actually going to have some copies for sale there as well.
It's
another
200?
Another game. Yeah, another game I back. So those would probably be, honestly, like probably number one and number two if I was choosing Kickstarter games, because I'm super stoked about those. But didn't have any, no expansions on here for me as well.
There's also games that I don't count, like games that I just know nobody cares about. Like, I have games that are like foreign games, like Flip Over Frog is coming over here. Like, I know that sounds crazy. Like, Flip Over Frog is coming, and what was it, Foothills, which is like, I don't know if people like Snowdonia or not, but it's like one of the best worker placement games ever. Well, the guy who, he's making Nice Cup of Tea, well, apparently he doesn't want to finish that design, so he made Foothills, which is basically Snowdonia Duel.
So those
are like, you know, just like, I like little quirky tiny games, and a lot of people don't, you know, they really don't care about those games, but like at the core of it, that's another part of who I am. I like little tiny games, wallet games. I always go by Button Shy Booth to check out what they got that I don't have already, because I just get stuff in the mail from them. I have no idea which game it's going to be. So I love that about them, because I do play book back. So yeah, there's always just like these little quirky games that I'm looking for like little kids and families, because that's a thing that I'm into as well. So I don't even count those, because sometimes like they're just, I like the big ones. You know what I'm saying? Like,
fair enough.
It's time to go big.
And how you feel about small cat games, Jeremy?
Okay. Well, I do like, you know, real cats, but I would never go to a cat cafe. Okay.
We'll talk about that later.
We'll talk about that later.
We'll talk about that later. That would have been a great segue, though, if I would have had this as my number five.
Yeah, but I just trashed that one right there. I completely trashed my transition there.
All right. So let's do this because I'm going to be doing Michelle's as well. So let's start with my number five, which is actually a new one that came just in the last couple of days, and I have to have it on here, almost specifically because of the publisher who I'm a huge fan of. That is, I don't even know how to pronounce it, Towers of Abharb. I think is how you pronounce it. This is a game from Modius Game Design, which I think they're from, I want to say Korea or Taiwan or somewhere. They're an Asian.
Well, Diffius?
Yeah.
Modius.
I don't know how Modius.
Yeah, they're Taiwan.
Taiwan, yeah. And I'm a giant fan of Mini Rails, which is about that at Gen Con a few years ago. Love that game.
One of my favorite publishers, Tulip Bubble.
Yeah, Tulip Bubble.
Symphony Number 9. Yeah, that's one of my favorite publishers.
Yeah, so when I saw this out there, I have to have it. It seems very much an abstract game. It looks like there's some area control in it, but just looking at the board definitely feels very abstracty. It's got my one issue that I almost left it off where it is Cthulhu themed, which I'm like, but again, I'm such a huge fan of the publisher that it's definitely a game I'm going to check out. And their games can often be a challenge to get at retail.
They are hard to get.
When you do, they're quite expensive, but they look really good. The little meeple Cthulhu worker, whatever their minion guys, look pretty good too. But the board looks very much like an abstract.
You know, I want to challenge you a little bit on that because he actually gets some pretty good shipping prices across the world. Like if you go to his website, they do have a pretty decent shipping situation going on. So if you do miss on those at Gen Con, that's one of those publishers that I think people like a lot, but they never really like seek out their games. Like Symphony Number 9 is a really good game from last year. Nobody like, you know, it's not really readily available, but if you were to go to the website, he has his stuff in stock. You can order. And like I said, the shipping's pretty comfortable. I was surprised because I actually ordered something for a gift or something. And I was like,
okay.
Wow, pretty comfortable shipping. So
that's good to know.
Yeah, it's really surprising, you know, considering where he's at, you know, and whatnot. So yeah, just so you know. But always stop by his booth because they got some interesting games.
They're probably at. I feel like they're usually at these cons at like TMG's booth. That's usually where you guys go to get them. But the dudes are there. The guys who run it are there, but they're at TMG Space, I think.
Yep.
All right. So that was my number five. Michelle's number five is The Queen of Hansa. This game is loading right now, and she is very excited about this. This is from Hobby Japan. It's got Clemens Franz art, which is very much up Michelle's alley, and it's very beige. Super duper beige looking at the cover right now. I have heard some stuff about this. This is like a drafting set collection type game, I think. Again, this is like a being from Hobby Japan, it's a game that, you know, can sometimes be tricky to get. So I know this is one she is very excited about. Do you know anything about this, Jeremy?
I do not, but I am going to be meeting with that publisher, I think. So, because if it's anything Japanese, Taiwanese, I'm going to be there. So I don't get to see some of these people in person. So it's definitely that time to touch base with these companies like that.
And I can't believe I did that without – we need to retake that. And I have to do my Michelle voice for this, which is – my number five is Queen of Hansa.
Shots fired.
That's all I got.
This is deployed.
Yeah, well, it's good to have shots fired and Michelle's not here to defend her. Which is even better. That's just the way I like it.
Yeah, I always look forward to seeing the Japanese publishers and Taiwanese, but like the smaller ones that you like, they're all there somewhere, and you're trying to find them, or they're in the demo halls, and it's like, you know, it's cool to find like the French designer and all these other like designers, but then it's like, then there's that other sect of people, you know, like where are they? You know, like. And I'm so glad I caught Taiwan Board Game Design and all that stuff like that. But I had to, like, find them. You got to find these people, you know? Yeah. So
Yeah, I can't remember which con it was, but I got this game. It's like Dice Fishing, I think it's called.
Yeah, Dice Fishing, yeah.
Yeah, I can't. It's from one of these companies, from one of the companies. I don't know if it's, yeah, I don't know, remember the name of it, but it's like such a super cool, neat little game that you wouldn't find anywhere that, yeah, that's quite enjoyable. Yeah. So it's like, I love finding those types of games at cons. That's my favorite part about the cons, is those games you really won't hear a ton about.
Nope.
But then you kind of go there, you experience it, you do the demo, and you're like, ooh, this is really fun.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. After you get done sweating and possibly headbutting and knocking over people to and get to them. Black Angel.
Yeah. So. just doing lots of rebel rousing.
Right. Rebel rousing.
How many times can we mention that in this episode?
Rebel rousing.
All right. What is your number five?
Oh, geez. It is going to be Ishtar by Yellow Games. Ilio Yellow, who knows? So Ishtar is a board game. And no, you know what? You know what it is? This is what it is. So I was looking at the game, and I'm not going to read the BGG description. This is what it was. I went completely off of what I saw in a quick little video on BGG a while back. And really, it's just, when I say this, it's like making flowers and it's like a Euro game. But what I saw was kind of like that Gateway Plus kind of game. And I was just so interested in it because this is the reason why I'm doing this kind of like faint, like vagueness, because I didn't do a lot of research on it. But they came out with these games last year that were like real kind of under the radar games, and the best one being Raids.
Yeah, so that's a good one.
Raids came out. That's a good one. And I was like, you know what? Now I'm starting to pay attention to these yellow games, and they're starting to get better. So let me see what happens when they don't throw mud at the wall. You know, like, let's see if they're actually going to put out some good games, like Bunny Kingdom, you know. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to pay attention to this one because that one seemed really good. So I'm just going to put that up there because I want to make sure I go see it, and I will probably just go buy it on site anyway because sometimes I – usually take a leap of faith on a game and just go for it. So that'll be one. I just go for it.
Nice. It looks really pretty.
Yeah. I mean, otherwise I would just say Unmatched because Unmatched is amazing. I think the game is going to be amazing. I think that's what I told you last time I recorded.
Yeah.
I subbed out Ishtar, but like, yeah, like Unmatched is probably my true number five, but like, yeah, I got to say it. So yeah, there you go.
Fair enough. All right. My four spot, number four, is Leather Jam from Czech Games Edition, designed by Ondra Skopi. I'm doing my best here. If it was French, I can nail it, because I'm in Quebec now, and I can speak French. I cannot speak Czech, question mark.
I love the way you lie. Go.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Hey, that's what we do here on All the Bits. We rebel, rouse, and lie. All right. So Leather Jam is a cooperative word game. And I think the best way I've heard this game described is Scrabble meets Hanabi.
Okay.
So it is a game where you're holding your hand face out so other people can see it. And you're working together. So it's a cooperative game and you're trying to give each other, I think, clues to spell out the words based on tokens. So again, thinking like the firework thingies in Hanabi. It's been a while since I played Hanabi. Like the tokens, and I guess you lose them if you don't get to a certain level with them. But basically, yeah, what it is you're trying to spell out words based on what other people are doing, and you, who has the letters, are trying to deduce what your word might be or what kind of word you can do. And that just seems so unique to me. I love word games. Word games are one of my favorite genres, but I especially do not like Scrabble or games like Scrabble.
Oh, okay.
I like word games that do something different. So if I'm thinking about like Paperback, which is a deck builder with words, Leather Tycoon, which is a stock market game with words.
Really neat idea, man, by the way. That's just a crazy idea.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah,
Spell Smashers, which has become one of my go-to word games, which is a dungeon crawl.
Yeah.
But word game, so like word games that really use the word mechanic some in a different way. So this is definitely something that I have not seen before, and I'm super excited to play this and definitely come home with it.
Yeah, that I was going to try that out at Origins, and then I missed the opportunity, partly because I wanted to make sure I see that one. And there's another game by them called Sanctum that's coming out at around Essen. So I'm going to be kind of making – I'm going to make sure I make my way over there.
Yeah.
Check that one out.
Yeah, so that's definitely excited for Letter Jam from Czech Games Edition. All right.
Yeah.
I got to do a costume change here.
Whoa.
I got to do a costume change as I get into my Michelle getup.
Hey, Mish.
Hey, yeah, everyone calls me Mish Jeremy. Hey, Jeremy, how's it going?
All right. but I'm feeling weird.
I wonder if anyone actually calls her Mish. We should find that out.
Yeah, I know. I will call her Mish.
Oh, dear. All right. So, Michelle's number 4 is Era Medieval Age. From Eggertspiel and art by Chris Quilliams, who Michelle is a giant fan of. I'm a huge fan of her, of his as well, and designed by Matt Leacock. And this is, what would you say, a spiritual successor to, like, Roll for the Ages, those types of games? I think that involves Lego / snappy pieces to do it.
Peg pieces, yeah.
Peg pieces, yeah. That's what it kind of looks like. It's a dice rolling. It's an action selection game. Do you have any thoughts on this?
So basically, you're trying to build your own, like, building your own kingdom, I guess, or whatnot. And what you do is you're rolling dice, and those dice will contribute to giving you resources. But what you also do is use those resources to make different dice. Help build buildings, but also, like, give you certain power and things like that. So, like, you build a noble, and the noble gives you more of certain resources. And then also you may build a knight, so they're better at attacking, because you actually do have a thing where you can kind of attack people if you roll certain things. There's actually a lot of interesting choices with what you do with the dice. But it comes out on this big board, and you're trying to, like, build ways to protect your building so they score more at the end of the game, because there's certain conditions on how things score more. And there's just a lot of interesting decisions to the game. It's a light game, but it's not like, you know, like, oh, this is a little light game, like a roll and write, or you just kind of just get through it. It's actually got a little bit of that cutthroat stuff, just enough player interaction where you want to do something with those the opportunities of attack, which is good. It's not like, hey, I'm chasing after attacking people. Like, you would lose the game. If you actually, like, focused on one thing, you would lose the game. So I think that's really cool. But I want to say this. I know the MSRP is pretty high, and it is high, but I think it has, like, 100 pieces of, like, miniature-sized stuff. So when people say that, I keep seeing that a lot. I'm like, it straight up has, like, 100 pieces of plastic.
Yeah,
like, and then, you would do the same thing for a minis game and pay $100 for it. Like, it's just, like, it's, I don't know, like, it's crazy to me.
And just looking at the pieces here, it looks like there's a fair bit of detail on them as well.
Yeah, there is.
They don't just look like Lego pieces. They look
I'll
like.
To be honest with you, this is Upgrade City. I mean, like, when you get it, people are gonna. I would say people right away are gonna probably paint it right away.
And
I mean, like, that board, yellow board, is bland. But like I said, I can see that getting painted right away. Upgrade kit right away.
It's me, Michelle, again. That's why I picked it, because it's so beige and bland.
Oh, Mish, I think you should sit a couple plays out.
Oh, dear.
I'm going to call a 20-second timeout, and you go lay down.
Okay. Back to Jeremy for his number 4.
Number 4 is going to be City of Big Shoulders. This is by Parallel Games. It's designed by Raymond Chandler. This art is by Emily Deering and Andreas Resch. This is a game. It's for 2 to 4 players, and it's basically after the Chicago Fire, but before the Big World's Fair, and you're basically trying to rebuild everything. So you're trying to build this economy. It's got some 18XX, but it's a little bit on the lighter end of the 18XX. But, I mean, like, you are straight up building buildings. There's actually buildings that you build. You're chasing up stocks and moving things around, setting up stuff. We're talking, like, Quaker Oats, Nabisco, all those things. You're trying to establish all that different stuff and invest in things that you think will be the best. And it's just the game. I've been watching this game for about, was it, like, 2 years now? And I was lucky enough to meet the designer then. Actually, no, 3 years ago then. So, yeah, two years ago I met the designer, and it was just like, he's like, I've been working on this forever. And to watch Edward from Heavy Cardboard play it, I was just like, yeah, this is it. This is it. It's the real deal, and it's heavy. I mean, it is heavy. It's already at 375. I think it's going to be higher. So,
well, I mean, you know, to put a city on shoulders, that's heavy.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. Okay.
That's huge, man.
All right, Atlas. All right, little Atlas. That's your little Atlas.
So this is a game that a friend of the show, one of our bitsers, Darren, recently played, and sounds like he's absolutely enamored with it. And this will definitely be coming home with one of the Calgary contingent who will be muling it back for him. So I'm definitely looking forward to playing this at some point.
It's going to be gone. So like if you're going to Gen Con, like it's just go there day one, like make sure you get there because it's going to be gone. No question.
Some rebel rousing might need to be had in order to secure
rebel rousing. What's that about over there?
All right. On to number three here. My number three is a game that Jeremy mentioned earlier, which would be his number five, and that is Unmatched Battle of Legends Volume 1. There are some expansions out as well. This is a game from Mondo and Restoration Games are working together for this. Designed by Rob Davio, J.R. Honeycutt, and Justin D. Jacobson. This is a hand management. I don't want to say deck building. That's not the right word. But, you know, you utilize your individual asymmetric deck and some area movement. Reminds me a lot of kind of something like Dice Throne. But more with kind of the card play and the board play in it as well. What I absolutely love about this is the asymmetrical piece. There are miniatures which look awesome, and they are utilizing IPs for it, which is what really kind of has me going. I think like in the base box that you get, you have like Alice from Alice in Wonderland, Medusa, King Arthur,
Bigfoot. I think.
And then there's the Bigfoot expansion, Bigfoot versus someone. There's Robin Hood. Yeah, there's Bruce Lee expansion you can get.
They just announced Jurassic Park, the Raptors from Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
And they got like Dr. Ratner and the T-Rex or something like that.
So, yeah,
like,
they have a whole bunch from Jurassic Park coming out. That's so exciting.
She's awesome. Like, they got so many more ready, Jeremy. I can't tell you all of them. So I was talking to the rep. I was trying to drip her dry of information. She's like, I cannot tell you. I just can't.
And what's really cool about this, for those of you who aren't familiar with Mondo, they're using that art style. Which is awesome, which is that like very cinematic, like I don't know how to describe
like,
it. I love
for real, like I'll just be honest with you, like those cards are pretty much unmatched art wise. Like
I see what you did there.
Yeah, I see what I did
hilarious.
There.
Hilarious.
I just rebellious. Play it when I said it though, you know what I'm saying? but the Sorcerer that just came out. Mm-hmm. That's a game that a lot of people aren't talking about. It was hot, and it wasn't like nobody said anything. It's a really freaking good game, by the way. So if you're going to Gen Con, definitely check that one out from White Wizard. But that card art on there is absolutely amazing. But then when I saw Unmatched, I was like, well, forget about that, homie. Like, it was that. It's so unique, and it's so, like, striking when you look at the cards. Just beautiful. There's some serious art out there right now, man. I'm looking at Dice Throne.
Yeah, there really is.
Just great art out there.
That's what we're all about here on All the Bits, is the art and
wow.
You know, the bits and the rebel rousing. Oh dear. All right. I got to switch costumes here for a second.
Okay.
I don't think my voice can handle doing any more Michelle voice, unfortunately. It's really hard on my voice. All right, so, I'm just going to go. Michelle's number three is Century A New World. Yeah, I just can't. It's so sore.
Tried, so.
It's Century A New World, designed by Emerson Masucci, with art by Atha Kanani and Chris Williams from Plan B Games. This is the third game in the Century trilogy, I guess, and goes with the other two, much like the previous two went together. This one is, I believe, a straight worker placement game, whereas the first one was kind of a set collection, and the second one was pick up and deliver. This one utilizes work replacement as its mechanism. You can mix it with Century Spice Road or Century Eastern Wonders, or I believe both. So you can get, I'm doing math here, 4 or 5 different games out of it.
Yeah.
Different types of games. Are you familiar at all with this, Jeremy?
Yeah, so I have a copy, and I've played it once. I'll probably play it again tomorrow. But yeah, this one has a lot going on that's different. I feel like this is more of the gamer's game for it. Because I felt like one was good. It's just a good general game. But like the second one just kind of like there's something missing. And when I played the third game, the only time I played it with the second game combined with it. And then I felt it. I was like, this is exactly what I want. Like, this is what I want. Because those two together feel like a board game. Like not like a medium weight, like really kind of a medium weight, like a light medium board game. And I was like, wow, this is a full experience now. I understand how they come together. Although unique on their own, but how they work together. And I just felt like overall, this is the best, but I could see how it won't be the most popular, of course. Like Century Spice Road just did so well. But like I think this is the best of the three. Just by playing it that one time, I was like, yes, that is a board game that I would like to play. Versus like the other ones where I was just like, I have Century Spice Road just sitting around. I just have it. Because you can just whip it out and play it, which is fine. But the second one, it just so missed me. And this one right here really gave me some renewed faith. I may actually go pick up the second one just to play with the third one. And I don't know. I don't know what all three of them are like together. But, I mean, I'm confident that, you know, it really won't do anything more than like add the trading part, more trading to the gameplay. So they may have something really good here that's very unique and memorable that, I think they may have something that's really memorable. So there you go. That's my half-hearted endorsement.
I feel like it was actually slightly more positive than it was when we first recorded it.
Yeah. You know, it was just because that, you know, like the middle was just such a dud for me. So, you know, I was like, I will try it.
Mm-hmm.
And because I give every game a fair shot. So, and I'm happy that I had a good experience. So, excuse me. But yeah, I'm glad I had a good experience. So I did.
All right. And on that note, what is your number three?
My number three is Cloud Spire by Chip Theory Games. Uh-huh. It's designed by the Carlson brothers, Josh and Adam Carlson. And it's absolutely, I can't explain to you how I feel about Chip Theory Games. Like, I'm a solo game player, so at heart, I'm a solo games player. And, like, they're just the epitome of, like, what that is. They had Too Many Bones, Hoplomachus, now they have this, Undertow, and now this. And what it is basically a big tower defense game and done in the Chip Theory way. So all these big neoprene mats and the chips, these thick chips and things like that, you're fighting them off, and you actually have a solo campaign that you could go through. And that's what really gets me, because it's like, I think it's 20 missions.
Nice. Woo!
That feels like, I just, when I said that, there was actually like a little minty rush that went through my lungs.
And yeah, he looked like it. We're video going here, and I could see his face. He totally looked like
right. It's slightly burned. I'll get it checked out.
Yeah.
But I feel great about Too Many Bones, the Cloud Spire. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, because I know when I saw it at Origins, I didn't back the game. And I saw it at Origins, and it was in pre-production. And I'll tell you, even when you see their pre-production stuff, you're like, oh, my Lord. And then he was like, no, this is not even the final one. This is the one before the final one. And I said, are you kidding me? And he's like, I was like, man, all right, man, I got to get this game. Because the thing is, I know the gameplay is solid. I just hadn't seen enough of it. So now I've seen how it works. And now I physically touched it. That's the thing about Chip Theory Games. When you physically touch them, it's a different thing. Like the way the chips feel, all the dyes, all the etched, the detail, the presentation. Mm-hmm. It's one thing to have a sheen to a game and be in love with like the minis and the looks or whatever. This game doesn't have minis. It just has such good feeling components. And it's like, oh, man, and impactful choices. They're not light games at all, you know. So that's what I need. You know, that's what I need. And if my friends don't want to play, guess what? I could play by myself.
You play with yourself. All right.
There you go.
All right. Yeah, that's a game I was like this close to backing when it was on Kickstarter.
Just yeah, close. So close. That was one of the ones that I had to cut.
Those Chip Theory games are, yeah, they're amazing. It's just shipping to Canada is the worst with those games. Yeah.
But you had to, was on sale. If you don't back it, you add like $60 to it.
Yeah. Then it's hard to find, or you're going to pay the same shipping going through them. Honestly, like if I drove to any convention, because they always have Chip Theory Games always has the best booth. Like their booth is always like super awesome. I would like pack it because that ain't the game I'm taking home on the plane ever. Yeah. They're like way too heavy.
You know,
I'll be an extra luggage just there.
Somebody should do a documentary on them, like about like the way they started at conventions. Like I think they were like literally like one of those people that had like the booth attached to somebody's booth, like on the side. Nice.
Yeah,
like with Hafamakis. So like, it's like funny. I remember Adam saying that to me. He's just like, man, you like 5 years, man, just 5 years. The difference. I remember like it was just him and his brother, I think, and then like. He hired one more guy, and they were in the warehouse. And then I think after Too Many Bones had like his third iteration, like one day he just got on Facebook and just started saying like, I need to hire people like right now for the warehouse. I need people right now. Like it was just like a meteoric rise, you know, like it's kind of cool to see because the games are that good. When you have good games, that happens, you know? So,
yeah.
So I'm like glad that you feel like you're a part of something when you see that. And you're like, man, I have all their games. That's the journey. You know, like, that's a good journey. You know, small publisher, and here we are. So,
All right. Speaking of the journey
and
good things, and great things, let's talk about the single greatest movie of all time, Jeremy. I talk about my number two.
Okay. So, you're talking about Aliens? Are you talking about Nemesis coming out? Or?
No. Oh. No, not even close. No, that's not even legit. Come on. No, okay. I'm talking about Die Hard, the Nakatomi High
Court. Oh, God.
As we've discussed, on the show before.
At length.
Our lost episode of the Audio Goblins, as well as myself and Michelle, my favorite movie of all time by a long shot is Die Hard, where I would say I've seen somewhere between 30 and 50 times. Not going to say where in there.
Right.
Somewhere between 30 and 50 times.
Right. Solid lie.
No. Hey, listen, I don't lie. As everyone who listens to the show, I don't lie or exaggerate or embellish. I just rebel rouse.
Rebel rouse. I could just stir the pot.
Stir the pot a little bit.
Stir the pot a little bit with a whisk. A whisk. I like whisk it up.
Jeez. I don't think we could say that on the Dice Tower Network, actually. Just feels wrong. I don't think there's actually in and of itself anything wrong with saying I like to whisk it up. I just don't feel proper saying it.
I'm so sorry. Tom, I'm sorry.
So while Jeremy recovers from whisking it up there with his water, I'm going to talk. Yeah, Die Hard, the Nakatomi High Board Game is from the op. USA Op leader, now known as the Op, designed by Sean Fletcher and Patrick Marino. This is a one versus many game. Once again, I'm being a huge hypocrite, and I mentioned before, my least favorite game type is one versus many. But what's neat about this game is it offers asymmetric gameplay. So it's the one is John McClane, and the others are Hans Gruber and friends and various bad guys, and they all have asymmetric abilities. And you are trying to foil the thieves are cooperating with each other. And you are trying to, as John McClane, trying to save the hostages at Nakatomi Plaza. That's it. And there's a mini of John McClane in it. Seriously.
I mean, seriously.
That's all you need. This is going to be a required play at Christmas. Like every Christmas, this game, you know, you watch Die Hard, you play this game, you watch Die Hard 2, and then you're good.
Like are you going to be like wearing like, are you going to be playing this game wearing like, what is that? A tank top and a
bloody tank top. I have my bloody tank top full of blood that I watched Die Hard in. It's my cosplay. Yeah. In fact, I might be cosplaying a Gen Con in the bloody tank top.
No.
Who knows?
Don't make it weird. It's hard to make it weird at Gen Con, but you're going to do it.
A challenge accepted.
I was not challenging you.
Oh, no, that was a challenge. That was a
I want you to be safe, dog. I want you to be safe, dog.
So right. The best thing, listen, I'm going to say one more thing about this game. There's the card that is on the BGG page. What my favorite scene from that movie and one of the most iconic thing is when John McClane sends the deceased bad guy down the elevator with written on his shirt in blood that says, like, now I have a machine gun, ho, ho, ho. And then Alan Rickman, like, kicks it away or whatever. That is, like, my favorite thing in that movie. And there is a card with that. Like, seriously.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Perfect. That's my number two diehard.
Okay, you're number two. Okay, right. So these are some shifts here, but Detective City of Angels by Evan Derrick, art by Vincent Dutrait, and published by Van Ryder. This is a, once again, 1 to 5 player game. It's basically, you know, noir detective stuff, and it's got the deduction. It's got a story. You also got the chisel. So you got to be, you know, you're going to have a one versus many situation where you have a whole bunch of people. You're going to have questions that you can ask the chisel and they can, like, answer yes or no. And it gives you, like, certain points or steers you a certain way. It's really heavily narrative driven. And people who have been playing this game already on the team that they were talking about, they just played their fifth game the other day. And they were like, man, this game is absolutely amazing. It is absolutely amazing. So
nice.
This is delivers. Van Ryder Games also makes really good solo games. So either they do have solo games like Hostage Negotiator, or even like a game like Big Score, which is an awesome, fun game for 5 players. It's got a really good solo mode. So they really do prioritize. They put that in there and they don't bake it in. So I'm really confident that even as a solo player, I would enjoy it. Of course, it doesn't, you know, give you the same. I don't know. Actually, I don't know. But I would say being the chisel is fun, I'm sure. So, you know, you want to be that person. So you want to be, you know, be able to deceive and stuff like that. But I'm just looking forward to this game. It just seems like I wouldn't want to miss out on something like this if it's that good. It's like my type of game. I like to watch detective and crime shows, like even the bad ones.
Yeah.
Except for the ones on CBS. But. But yeah, I just looking forward to this one right here. So,
and the bits are ridiculous.
Yeah. So I'm incredible. The bits. Yeah.
The bits, man. All the bits.
All the bits. That's way to lean into it. And it's got the Vincent Dutrait art, which is my favorite. So he's my favorite artist. So yeah, I'm all about that, man.
Cool. I will get to Michelle's number two, which I'm going to make Jeremy talk about because he knows the designer, I believe. That is Old West Impresario Tasty Minstrel Games, designed by Stan Kordonsky and art by Sergei Marcet. Yeah. This is a tile/dice placement game.
Yeah. It's like so basically you have 6 die, you roll the dice, you roll a bunch of dice, you put them on this area here, and then you put little tiles there that represent pieces of your town, these different building types. And you're drafting the die, but when you take the die, you're really just wherever those numbers are, that's what the die will be for the round. So if you rolled 4 6s, those 6s are all gonna be actions that you choose in that lane. So you could actually run out, you know, like you're gonna be going through those, you know, that little stack. So it's a really interesting game because it triggers how you have 2 choices here. Basically, you build your little tableau area of all these buildings and kind of put them next to each other. So you'll have like a little bit of synergy there. Like some buildings don't need to be next to each other. Other ones do. Other ones should they need to be in a pattern. Other ones need to be in like a train. So you need to lay a train tracks with buildings. So it's got like all these different types of interesting choices that you make, and then you can also just run your town. And what I mean by running your town is you take the die and you use that to run your town, and what buildings have that same die number, they will all activate.
Okay.
And that's the coolest part, is when you have, like, let's say 5 buildings that have threes on them, and then you pull that three, and you get to trigger all these buildings across your town that you've made.
Yeah,
that's really cool. So yeah, that part's really cool. And like one thing I like about Stan's designs, Dice Hospital, Rurik, Lockup, all of them have these he's very big on that super powered feeling. Like, let's have fun turns every turn. You shouldn't have a weak turn. You shouldn't feel like that was a dumb turn. You should feel like, oh, I missed out on getting that one, but I have this cool one here too. So I like that thing. He has a version of that in all of his games. And this one is another one of those games where I feel like, oh, okay, like even your first choice, you're like, see, I know that's going to be cool. It's going to trigger with this. Like, you can feel it right away. You know, you can have two tiles and you're thinking like, ooh, I got it. I'm going to have my own engine. And that's a good feeling. It's a really solid game, TMG quality. Like the artwork, it's kind of a sequel to Pioneer Days. They have their kind of thing at TMG where they kind of set a world and say, hey, we're making games in it. So, yeah, really excited about that one. Played it with them last week live, and it was awesome. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, Michelle's super excited about that. I'm super excited about that, although it makes me really want to finally play Pioneer Days, which I still haven't played.
Oh, my goodness. That game is so fun.
It is the longest reigning game on my shelf of opportunities, so I need to play it very soon.
It's just such a fun game, man. I like it. It's just fun. It is absolutely a fun game.
Yeah, I think I would love it.
Yeah, highly replayable too. Yeah, go ahead.
All right, you ready for the number ones?
All right.
A big number one. I have changed mine. There we go. I do draw.
Whoa. That's my drum. Is that how you feel about people's number ones? Go ahead. I'm done. Go ahead.
All right. No, my number one, I'm super excited about. I have been waiting for this forever. I'll get to my other potential number one later. But this is my number one is Century Golem Edition Eastern Mountains. Jeremy's designed by Emerson Matsuchi with art by Atha Kanani and Chris Williams from Plan B Games. This is the one of the trio that Jeremy is so on. I do quite enjoy it. I've played a couple times the Spice version, and I did enjoy it for what it was, which was, you know, one step above. I think Spice Road, the initial Century, is so streamlined and so simple and such an amazing gateway game that I think it's kind of like I was comparing the two a lot at first. Nothing is going to beat that. Like, that first game is so good. It's my go-to. Is Replace Splendor is my go-to to someone who hasn't played hobby board games as a way to kind of just introduce you to something you're going to get that's super simple. This game... Honestly, the biggest thing I love about Golem, about the first one and this one, is the art. That art just kind of reminds me of Iron Giant, which is one of my favorite movies since No Die Hard, but it reminds me of Iron Giant. And it's just so whimsical. The art is just so, like, just puts you in a good place looking at it. Like, I would love to have posters of the creatures up all over my basement. Like, that would be amazing. So I'm looking forward to getting this. I'm looking forward to getting the playmat. I so regret when I had the opportunity for the initial one, I didn't get the playmat because I was cheap. I definitely want to get the playmat. This is going to be the one game that I have to run for to make sure I get. I desperately want to go home with this game.
Yeah, you're going to have to definitely drink some Super Soldier Serum to get to that.
I know. And I know Plan B tends to not have a ton of stock for these things.
I just don't think people are going to be prepared for how bad it's going to be. It's going to be crazy.
I know.
Pre-orders ain't enough, man.
They didn't even put this up for pre-order.
Oh, wow. They want my...
I mean, worst case scenario, you will be, so this will not be in retail for a year, but you will be able to order it online on their website. Do you know what the annoying thing is, Jeremy?
What's that?
Where I currently am in my sister's house in the suburbs of Montreal is about 10 minutes from Plan B's office right now.
Wow.
10-15 minutes. Like, you know, I should just be able to walk over there and get the game, and that's it.
Hey guys, I brought some sandwiches over. I got this. I got ham and cheese. I got turkey provolone. I got all the condiments you want here.
Can I get a copy of the game for your lunch? That's simple, man.
Yeah, just wondering. I got some Coke in the fridge over here. I bought a mini fridge. Can I get a copy of? No, sir. Get out of here. Release the hounds. By the way, I don't know who I was just now, but whatever.
I don't know. You're rebel rousing, man. You're just rebel rousing. That's what that is. I'll go over there and get shot. That's what I'll do. I know.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. So for the big number one, unless you've changed things, Jeremy, I'm going to let you go because I think it's the same as Michelle's question mark.
I have a 1A plus 1, and I have a 1 and a 1A alpha X1. I don't know.
All right. What do you want?
My number one is Black Angel. I mean, Black Angel.
That is Michelle's number one. That is actually, in all seriousness, probably my number one. But I knew the two of you were doing it, and I didn't want to have the three of us have the exact same
number one. Yeah, I know.
Black Angel is going to be a huge...
Yeah, it's going to be a big one. Now, this is by the same people who made Trois. Yeah. Sebastian Dujardin. Xavier Joris.
Dujardin.
Yeah, you go ahead and handle that one. Art by Ian O'Toole, Pearl Games. Now, basically, this game is like you're on a ship. It's a ship. You got all this AI. You're trying to basically – you're scoring victory points, and it's a dice manipulation kind of game, basically. What do you do with these dice? The dice are your workers. But this is like a game that's like it's called Selenia. I don't know if you've played it. Came out earlier this year. It was actually an Essen release last year. Absolutely amazing game. Nobody's talking about. By the way, you'll probably be able to pick it up at Gen Con. If you do not know this game, go check that one out. Because if you can't get Black Angel, I don't want you to feel completely sad. You can get its little baby brother. Selenia.
Okay. Jeremy, you know what?
What's that?
Michelle's not a fan.
Oh, okay. Well,
I'm not a fan.
Okay. All right, Mish. Have another sip of your honey tea and go to sleep.
I think it's her voice cracking.
Nighty night. So this game, basically the Black Angel, the ship actually moves, and so does the board. The board actually like moves in cycles, kind of like the tile moves from the front to the back and kind of like simulates it moving through space. So as you do that, certain things change and how you make your choices. It's a really, really heavy game. Once again, what really makes me, you know, just really excited is that close to 4 complexity rating. It just makes me very happy. Makes me want to...
Mage Knight territory.
Yeah, Mage Knight territory. And when you get to Mage Knight territory, I'm ready. I am ready. Oh, my goodness. So, that is definitely like A1 priority game. Priority. Must have. No question.
And what's your 1A?
My 1A is Watergate. It's must have game. Now, I played it already. So, I played it at Origins late at night. And, man, it's really good. It's just really good. Like, people keep bringing it up because for the people who've played it, they know. Like, it is that good of a game for a two-player game. And when people say it's two-player Twilight Struggle, I guess. I mean, it's politics and stuff like that. But really, it's just a good quick card game that's 20, 30 minutes. And really what you're doing is you are – either Richard Nixon and his guys, or you are the editor I can't remember, but you are. But you are basically trying to try to find out evidence and influence people and do all these like little things through cards and hand management and how you do influence. And you basically have two different ways of getting to the end of the game. But it's kind of cool because the board is laid out like a cork pegboard. So it looks like it straight up looks like, hey, if we connect this to that, this to that, we'll get to this person. And then that person goes down. And that's how the press gets it. Like you kind of have to get his cronies and then go get him. And then the other, and like Nixon, he has to just kind of influence people because, of course, he had, you know, he had the people on his side. Like, a lot of people didn't even care. Like, they were like, whatever, you know, like, and he won. I think he won by the biggest landslide ever. Like, it wasn't like he was hurt, you know, in the press. So it kind of plays like that. And you have to, like, stop him from getting his momentum. So, yeah, it's a really cool – the gameplay really comes down to a good push and pull. And there's that tension there that's like – that's kind of thematic tension, right? Mm. But the cool part is when you lose, you feel the moment. You do. You feel that moment. You're like, man, if I would have just played that one card. Like, I felt it. I should have just took this risk. I should have – I almost had him. And that is exactly what you want to feel in a game that's about that kind of topic. Like, ooh, I just missed out. You know, like, I should have made those two choices. And that's what that game does, because it's only – I mean, you can really play games. Once you've had the game for a while, I think you could probably play it in about – I think you play it in less than 30 minutes, honestly.
Nice.
But you're going to have fun every time. That's the thing. You're going to have fun every time. Jeremy from MVM, he's played it, he said, a good 30 times. And he said, I just don't get tired of playing it. He's like, I even know all the cards at this point. It's just that fun. And I was like, I totally agree. I only played it 1.5 times. And I was like, man, this game is – I went from, like, not knowing anything about this game – or the subject matter, because I don't care about any of that kind of stuff, to, like, now I'm starting to go down a wormhole on a podcast right now because of it, you know? So it's just such a cool game. And I feel like that one, like, took me by surprise, and that's why it's really high on my list to have.
Nice.
It'll be gone day one, too, by the way. That one would be.
Yeah, for sure. I think the good thing about that one's coming out relatively soon, though, right?
Yes.
People will be able to get it. We mentioned before, I have no friends, so if I had someone to play that with as a second player, I would probably get it. I'd be interested. I just don't get
it. I'll get an offer. He's making a plea on the podcast. I have no friends.
I have no friends. Someone come play a two-player game with me. Yeah, I just don't, in all seriousness. I don't get a chance to
play 2 weeks by myself.
I actually don't play solo games very often either.
Oh, no.
I don't play with myself. I don't play with other people. Wow. Why am I doing this?
Oh my goodness.
I just sit there. Yeah, sit there and be sad. Story of my life. All right, so.
Wow.
Michelle had a couple of honorable mentions. That she liked to mention. Number one is Hats from Thunder Griff Games.
Yeah.
This is a hand management set collection game based on the Mad Hatter from Alice in Wonderland. The art in this is absolutely amazing.
It's
Paolo Botto is the artist. The art is incredible. This looks like a cool game. This is the type of game that looks like right up my alley. A game that I could potentially get my wife to play. So I'm totally interested in this as well.
Yeah, I have a couple that I have. How about you want to do a couple I've played?
All right, I got one more for Michelle.
Go ahead.
You get there.
Go ahead.
Me,
nope.
You will. Is Ragusa?
From Cat
Games. I don't know a ton about this game, but it looks really neat now that I've started to do a little bit of research on it. It's a worker placement game.
Yeah, I have it. I still have the prototype.
Okay.
I never let go of the prototype because it's so cool.
Nice.
So basically, they're not workers or whatnot, but you're placing them in like this little triangle kind of situation. And the way you place them, it triggers all three of those things. So what happens is it's kind of like this little puzzle of how things trigger when you place them. But then when you get down to the city, like Ragusa, it gets a little bit more tricky because now you are not only going to start to trigger your little setup that you start to make and put up little walls and things like that, you're also going to trigger everybody else's. So it's like a little bit of an area control-ish kind of thing going on. But it's really cool how it all comes together when you start triggering off those things in the city, which can also lead to you getting more points for somebody else than yours. But you get an advantage for the resource. It's got some trading. It's got some trading at the bottom of the board, which I can't remember necessarily. But that weird kind of like little twist of adjacency thing going on. It's made by the same designer as Kalamala. And I'm Phil and Kalamala, low key awesome game nobody really talks about.
Yeah.
And once again, just a nifty mechanic, really good game. And I definitely check out Ragusa. And by the way, while you're over there, check out Pipeline, because that game is absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. And Estates, because Estates was been out of stock for a while. So if you're at Capstone, you have what, $250 now?
Yeah. Go for it. Hey, if you feel like getting into a big fight with the people you're playing with, go ahead and play Estates right there, man. Cause some rebel rousing. I played it for the first time last week. It's such a brutal game. It's fun. It's lots of fun, but it's brutal.
Oh, Pipeline?
Estates.
Oh, Estates. Yeah, it's brutal.
You're spending the whole game. How are you going to screw each other over?
Yeah, it's a good feeling. Yeah, totally. It's such a good feeling. That game's such a good feeling. Yeah, so, there's a lot of good stuff going on over there. I think Race for the Chinese Pagoda might be there, too, which I played that one. That was cool, too. So, cool. A lot of cool card games, a lot of good games coming from Capstone booth. I mean, I was going to say, they got the Magnestorm over there, Fuji. I've played all these games. They're all good. They're all good.
Nice. So many good games. That's the problem.
Yeah.
So little time and money. Unless you keep your kids out of school and homeschool, then you can buy all the games.
Don't pay their fees. None of their school fees. No, nothing.
No. All right. Give us two honorable mentions.
Okay. Lord have mercy. Two games. You know what? I got two. Okay. So two games. Oh man, I got three. Give me three.
Hey, give me three.
Okay. All right, give me three. Okay, so one is going to be Tukey from Tukey's going to be from Next Move. I think that's an Eggerspiel, actually. And it's basically a game where it's a dex game where you get these cards. You roll a die and you get a card, and then you're supposed to build that card with these, you know, kind of Tetris-y polynomial things. And sometimes you have to build them the way they are on the ground, but other times you have to build them on top of some other polynomials, which represents snow.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one to do that wins, and the person who loses or makes a mistake gets the card. It's a really interesting little game. You know what it is? I know this game is not going to be huge, but I think it's going to be really fun. And it's got nice, chunky quality pieces. You know, it's a battle with these types of games now, because I think some more of them are coming out. But I happen to think this one's really high quality. Definitely want to check that one out. Tales of Glory. We just got done playing that one. That was going to be, I think, at the Luma Games booth, because it's like a design. I think it's called Anacama, something like that. So in Tales of Glory, you are drafting tiles, these big tiles that represent your adventurer. And you're going to, like, they're going to be rooms or buildings or areas you're going to. And the cool part is that just like a tile drafting game, you're going to have like certain conditions give you special things and whatever by being next to each other. But here's the cool part. You are actually building it like a quest for your character. So it'll go in paths in different directions. But this is even the cooler part. Your guy actually gets like experience points. So it gets like fighting points and then like a magic point, something like that. It's like that. It's like armor or an attack or whatever. And that helps you buy tiles and like fight tiles, things like that, and you can pay for subbing potions and things like that. But it's also got this thing where if you put two key pieces together, you can unlock keys that are on the tiles that unlock treasures. So and then there's scoring multipliers for having those keys and unlock boxes and things like that. And it also unlocks combos for scoring, which is just a really cool game. I do have five more, but I'm not going to. I'm going to go with one that is so low-key and nobody knows. I know they don't know. I was surprised to see them coming. It is called Fertility. So it was one of my favorite games from last year. And it is really, really simple. I mean, all you're doing is taking tiles, tile laying game, and you're triggering off these combos by putting them on top of land pieces. And when you take those off, when you put them on top of the pieces, when you put them on top of the land, you get pieces for them. So you get the resources for them. And then what you do is you build like a little town. You have like 9 squares and a couple scoring conditions. And you take these buildings with your resources, which you don't get to keep between rounds, and you build little pieces to your city. And each one of those pieces to the city has like 3 or 4 different ways you can score. And then you also have things where, like, if you build a certain way and close things off, you get to build a monument. You have this wheat that you can use to kind of like increase your score and bank points, but then you can use it to pay for resources as well. So it's like a nice little play on, like, what do you do with this versus that? But that game right there, that one right there is like, when I say, like, it's at catch up games, fertility. When I say, like, when you play this game, you will get to your third round and you'll be like, this is pretty good. Like, right away, like, it's got that feeling. It's like, I like this. Like, you can, I played with two different groups and it was like the same thing. Like, I was looking at them and kind of like shaking their head. Like, you know, like, yeah, that's good. We agree. So, it's just a simple game, but I think, I think it may need an expansion at some point to make it go over the top, and maybe they'll reintroduce it with that. Maybe they have it already or something like that. But I do like that game a lot. It's a good game. It's a solid game. Probably need to lose the name Fertility. I have a game called Valletta. Like, all right, whatever. Could have been called Vendetta.
And have a lot of violence. Although there is a Vendetta already.
Yeah, there is. I would love that.
Yeah. All right, my let's get the Cat Cafe, because that's what everyone's been tuning into here. I mean, should have been my number one, but whatever. So here's an honorable mention. It's Cat Cafe.
It's Cat Cafe.
It looks adorable. It's a roll and write game where you're drafting dice to draw particular cat toys and then place them at different parts of a cat tower, and the toys do different things. You want the cats to be able to sleep, you want them to be able to get as high as they can, and you want to give them yarn to play with. Like, this is the life of a cat in the form of a roll and write. Super excited about that. Yeah. Super excited.
I am too. I want to check out Cat Cafe, so we will make this happen.
Go home with that. Another one that seems really cool is that I'm super interested in is Mega City Oceania.
Yeah, I want to check that out. That's Hub Games, so I'm excited to check them out. Yeah,
totally. Yeah, and this is a kind of sort of dexterity-ish game in that you're constructing these towers, and then you guys like slide them over, which I feel like I would fail miserably doing that.
Hey, I did a demo with this guy, and I was trying to film footage with him, and he was so bad at the game.
Oh, jeez.
Well, the thing was, it was the first day. I felt bad for him because he knew how to play the game. It was just that he was so bad at it. So, like, they gave it to somebody who couldn't demo the game. He was so bad, and we were both trying to slide our thing into the middle. We kept messing up.
Oh my goodness.
It's such a cool game.
It seems so neat. Yeah.
It's silly.
Yeah. Super. That's like my it's like have you played Meeple Circus?
Yes.
Many people talk smack on Meeple Circus. I love Meeple Circus.
It's so fun. You know what? That just shows you how fun they are. Man, come on. That's fun.
My last honorable mention here, I want to mention, it came out, I think the news about this being released at Gen Con came out after we recorded our first attempt at this, but that is the new expansion to Disney Villainous, Evil Comes Prepared. We mentioned in the last episode of All the Bits, somehow, some way, Disney Villainous has become one of my favorite games. It's probably one of my most played games. Definitely my most played game this year. The new characters are Scar in it, which I'm super excited about. Send my hyenas to kill a bunch of people. Yeah, there's Scar, there's Yzma from Emperor's New Groove, and Radigan from The Great Mouse Detective. So, yeah, super excited about this, man. I love Bill. Excited for the new expansion.
Yeah, man. There's so many games. I'm playing so many of these things right now. Ship Shape, check that one out. Ship Shape, check that one out. Over at Calliope Games. That one's really fun. It's a really cool design by Rob Davio. Nagaraja, that's a really good two-player game. Space Explorers, like, there's so many good games. That's the thing, there's a lot of good games. So you won't run out of good things to see. Believe me, if you say there aren't any good games at Gen Con, believe me, I played a good 40 of them before I got there, and I'm already.
And that's why that That's why our two listeners are listening to the show, because they're able to hear what really good games are, and they can go straight for those.
Yeah, I'm
my
serious.
Mom and Mish's mom so many can go right games. For it.
Oh my goodness. Do you not have Fleet Dice? Do you have the Fleet to Dice game? You might want to go get that. Do you have Escape Plan? Did you get it? You might want to go get that. Like, these are good games. Parks. Yeah. I have Parks. Parks is great. You know, like
Parks is, yeah, that was Boss, very close to being on my
list. Boss came out. Like, that was really good. Like, there's so many ways to, you know, to your interest. We didn't talk about Undaunted. We didn't talk about, like, it's just, I mean, like, Wildlands. If you like Wildlands, the new map for Wildlands came out, and they're going to have the
Dredge. Oh, Wildlands is so good.
You know, like, there's things there. We didn't talk about We Are Doomed. That's a great party game for 4 to 10 people where the game is trying to destroy you. You know, like, that's
just
cool.
Just like life.
Yeah, I know.
Speaking of life. All right.
Yeah, so I'm going to forever.
Before I move this on and throw it to Jeremy for his final thoughts, just want to mention a couple of things, a couple of All the Bits related things going on at Gen Con. Of course, number one, the All the Bits meetup, man. We're going to find the sketchiest corner, sketchiest bathroom in all of the Indianapolis Convention Center, man. That's where we're going to have our meetup. You know, we'll tweet it. Oh, it's sad but true. All right, and then I will be doing, if anyone out there is listening, I will be doing a couple of seminar talks at Gen Con. One I will be doing is the benefits of board games on speech, language, and communication. That will be Friday at 3 p.m. in Hyatt Studio One. And somehow there are only 20-something tickets left to this, so there's going to be a lot of people there, but come out and join, hear me talk about how we can use board games to help with communication. And then the other one I'm doing is the benefits of RPGs on speech, language, and communication. And that one will be Saturday at 2 o'clock at the JW Marriott, room 202. Wow, that one also has like 50-something people there. All right. So that's what I will be doing at Gen Con. We will be tweeting. All the Bits will be tweeting and Instagramming and doing social media stuff and trying to get some video content. That's my goal, is to get some video stuff as well up to the Facebook and YouTube stuff. So we'll see how that goes. Any final parting words about Gen Con, Jeremy?
Yeah, just make sure you're having fun, you know, and try to get out and see things. You know, I know it's a big purchasing convention, and for me, it's that and plus trying to do media coverage, but I often forget, you know, just play some games. And I think people think like the content creators play all the games. I think we play more games leading up to it than most people. So like we kind of have our convention before, like trying to cram and get as much content out as possible and do things like this. But, you know, like when we get to the conventions, it's like meeting, ooh, secret meeting, ooh, secret play. And you don't even get to play the whole game, so it's not really a whole secret play.
Yeah.
You know? So
can't play in BG stats.
Right. It's like, ooh, I saw it and took three more pictures than nobody. You know, like, but you know, and that's cool. It is cool. Don't get me wrong. That's cool, right? But just make sure you soak in the moments. If you're with your friends, have fun with your friends. If you're away from your family and this is like the trip you've been saving for, just really make sure you enjoy it and not, you know, crack under the pressure of not getting the game that you want, man. I'm really big into mental health. I had a couple moments when I was with at Gen Con the first time, and I was just amazed at like two of two stressful moments I saw, I experienced with people who just really were, you know, they invested in the wrong things, I believe, for their own mental health at Gen Con, and it didn't work out, and they melted down in front of me. So I just want people to make sure they have fun. And if you need somebody, you know, to hang out with, hey, you can always find me.
I'm the tallest guy.
Yeah, just look for a tall black man with dreads. There'll only be, you know.
One.
Maybe hands and toes. Maybe it's toes. So, just can't miss me. I laugh really loudly.
Yes,
I smile really hard. So yeah, don't be a stranger, man. I'm nobody special. So,
hey man, you know what I signed up for today?
What's that?
A juggling class at Gen Con.
Are you kidding me?
A juggling class. I'm gonna learn how to juggle. My daughter loves when I like juggle two balls, like. But I can't do three without dropping it. So this apparently will teach me how to juggle, do three different juggling ball techniques. That's the kind of stuff you can do at Gen Con.
I want to join you in this class.
I will send you the link.
Yeah, send me the link. I'm serious. Like, I want to do that. I've always wanted to jump.
I'm, like, super excited for it. But that's the cool thing about JabCon is you look at the events. They're, like, super wacky, ridiculous events that you can do. So that's, you can do, like, just to kind of escape the hall and escape the throngs of people, which can totally be overwhelming. It's, like, sign up for just an event that you wouldn't do anywhere else.
Right, because it's that time. It is a vacation. It's not just game. It is a vacation. So, you know, get out of there, get some rest, do all the things I wouldn't do, like sleep, drink water, you know, eat well, make sure you have everything packed and organized. Do all those things that I will not do. Take my unsolicited advice, but enjoy yourself.
Totally. That is as good information as we can leave you with. But... all right, I feel like I should do this in Michelle's voice, but I won't because I'll just forget. Before we close out the show, we just want to say a big thanks again to our amazing listeners and our show sponsor, Board Game Bliss, a store where you can find an amazing selection of games from around the world, bringing joy to you and your loved ones. The next time you are playing with someone who has AP, may we suggest that you use that time to click the subscribe button and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Thanks again. Bye.